Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
As heard on 107.7 The Inn in Seattle, hello there. I'm the, according to this podcast, runner-up to World's Sexiest Man. I'm Greg.
Oh!
Welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. This is Nerd Talk Plus from the wasteland of Eastern Washington. He's our skin squatch. He's our even littler boy. He's Tony Pizza, Brandon from the internet.
I'm eventually just going to be no boy at all.
Wow.
What's the half-life of a little boy?
Yeah, oh my goodness. I mean,
you're one of the ones with a child. That's our right
like,
age. So.
These are like questions that sound problematic only if you make them problematic. What's the half-life of, if you say it in a certain tone, what's the half-life of a little boy?
Like how fast do they decompose?
There's nothing necessarily problematic about it.
He's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem possibly worth it, but also legitimate. He's our Crash Bandicoot, but your Four Loko daddy. Call sign is Corndog One, but we call him Siege.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Siege. How are you?
Oh my goodness, you guys! I don't even know where to begin. I just like between all of that madness, all the feedback we've been getting from our. Our Pornhub stanky leg.
Sepsister, let's go.
Oh, yes, Sepsister.
I'm glad that we have at least four listeners.
Yeah. Because right?
The four of us, primarily, because now that I've started listening.
Thanks, buddy.
Nice.
It's a fun show.
No wonder we're growing.
Yeah. Well, that's not why.
Brandon streams it 300 times a week, so it's really great. Thank you for doing your part and helping us behind the scenes sometimes, and then scrolling us at the end. We have producer Sean Gravy Gervin. It is gravy time of year. This is the big gravy week for the gravy household, as he'll be producing mass quantities of salty, gooey, cloudy turkey topping. Yeah.
Just
based away, buddy.
All over my face.
Oh, boy.
Goes great on breasts.
If you could, God damn it. If you could tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about gravy's gravy.
Yeah.
Find us at nerdtalkplus.com. Siege, I understand that the moderation for the comments on Spotify is once again being problematic.
It could be. I don't know. I ran a test on it and seems that it's back working again, but either that or nobody's just commenting. Everybody, you're listening to this on your phone right now. Pick up your phone, go on the little Spotify thing, click on the episode, and just like type something like hike. Gabagool, gravy's navy forever. Yeah. I don't know, something.
Okay,
please
or answer the question of the week, which I don't. We don't have one right now. I feel like
or just write and see what happens.
Yeah. We'll try that. Well, I mean, mine went through, and I was just revealing the results of the poll from before of what is pre-toothpasting your butthole actually called. God. Which 62% came back as Listerinus.
Hold on, let me just write that down real quick. That's,
62% said Listerinus. That's more than 6 out of 10 doctors.
Technically, that's mouthwash, so I don't know. Not to be a party pooper, but that's
party pooper.
You've done enough pooping today, sir.
Yeah, apparently, according to my child.
So, dudes, I like... I have this ex-girlfriend that sometimes, like, we've stayed in touch casually over the years, but now we're both, like, in different phases of our lives, and we have children and these things, right? And she messaged me today just being, like, I posted, I was cooking a baked potato a potato, rather. It was not baked at all. I was cooking a potato in the microwave, as I do now, because the potato button is perfect for it. You poke some holes, you put it in there, you've got tasty baked potato in 6 minutes instead of 60 minutes. It's awesome. And as I was, like, waiting for that, I just, like, reached to what was near me to snack on, and it turned out to be potato chips. So I was, like, pre-potatoing my potato, or...
You pre-potatoed your potato hole.
It's a it's a potato-tizer.
Yeah.
Potato-tizer.
App-potato. App-potato-tizer.
Pre-brushing my butthole. Is that what we said it was? Or what was it? I
don't know. Something sour cream and butter.
Pre-chipping your potato hole.
Yeah. It's pre-starching.
Yeah, there it is.
But I like it. For a second there, I was like, oh my God, this is like the most stoner move ever. And so, appetator, and I said,
appetator, yes, gravy.
And so, I was like, this is like seriously the most stoner thing I've done in forever, other than forgetting everything all the time, whenever I try to accomplish anything. And so I posted about it, and this ex-girlfriend of mine from 15 years ago messaged me to be like, wait, you're not a stoner? And I was like, oh, when you knew me and we dated, I smoked pot every day. That's right. Oh,
hell yeah.
That's so weird. What a thing. And I was like, yeah, well, I anxiety got the best of me, and so whatever. Last time you reached, or like some years ago, your brother kind of aggressively and problematically reached out to me. How's that guy doing? Not thinking
brother?
That... No. Her brother.
Yes, teaser brother.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm sorry, we were talking about weed. You said something about a problematic brother.
I just assumed.
Yeah. I said, how's your little brother? I remember him being really weird and aggressive toward me some years ago on the internet. I hope he's well. And I thought she'd be like, whatever. And said she was like, he's not doing well. I don't have much contact. I can't deal with it. I was like,
there you go.
I'm so sorry. I was like genuinely worried, and I just made things worse and brought up a sore subject. So shout outs to Dylan.
Dummy.
If only you'd seen, I saw a thing on one of the social medias, because now there's a million of them that are all the same. And it said, it was like a adult pro tip. Don't ask people about the relative that they never talk about. And if only you had seen that before.
Fair. We don't exactly have a relationship, so we don't talk about any relatives. I think that she might be divorced now or something, because she hasn't posted a picture of her family in forever. So I don't know. Whatever. She's got a cute dog. That's cool.
Nice. Stares into chat.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it was I feel uncomfortable right now. Oh, I made a note. Brandon, I feel like this would be up your alley. While I was in Japan, I don't know if you guys heard that I went there, and I'm really
into it.
Did you
go to Japan?
Yeah, I did. I found the store. And it's called Traveler's Notebook. I might have addressed this a little bit, but I bought this thing. It's like leather book or whatever. The paper in it is exquisite. I use that word specifically because it is superior to every other paper I've ever written upon. And I say that because while I was in another shop looking to buy a card for a wedding, I found a fountain pen. Just a $10 fountain pen. Now, a little bit about me. My first job ever, besides working for my dad at his office and learning that he says the F word like every 4 seconds, he's dead now.
Nice.
He did. If he still does, that's awesome. But I worked at a stationery store selling expensive pens. I've sold an $800 pen before, and that was in mid to late 90s money. So, boy. Anyway, so like I used to have all these expensive fine pens, and I've lost all of them because of that stoner comment before. But I found myself just a $10, little fountain pen. It's not going to focus, of course, but and I've been writing on it, and I got this book, and I was like, this is the best fountain pen I've ever used. No! The best paper I've ever used. But I'm one of these nerds that goes around and like makes notes of stuff. If I like handwriting notes when possible to try and it helps my brain remember things better. Or I practice my hiragana, my Japanese writing. I don't know if that's going to focus or not, but whatever.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
So I made a note for this, and I sent a video that helped me remember, too. We talked about BattleBots last week, and there was a point I wanted to get to that I didn't, that was brought back up by a video that I found, where there's four BattleBots in the arena. These are remote-controlled robots, and they fight to the death in this arena. And it started as a Nickelodeon show that was kind of, like, pretty low impact, if you'll excuse me. Nothing really cool ever happened except for like one would keep spinning until the other one ran out of battery.
Nothing gratuitous.
Nothing gratuitous happened. And then we were talking about how
Spike
cool
TV
that show
came
was.
Along.
Yeah, and they made it. They made it better. Okay, but it's
they
still...
gave all of the robots boobs.
Yeah,
and It's Always Sunny characters piloted them or whatever, and so Danny DeVito was there. But
wow,
that didn't ever happen. Anyway, the the point being is that like this robot he battle was. Thing happened.
Danny DeVito was just Danny spinning DeVito. Around until he ran out of batteries.
He had a knife, just like ha ha. My point was that they never learned their lesson where they needed to make these things fragile. They needed to not be able to be made out of metal. They needed to be made out of something like a
whatever they make
fiber.
Those. Whatever they make those, the monster trucks. If you've been to the monster trucks, whatever they make the outside of the monster trucks with, they need to make the the battle bots with.
Absolutely, it's like a that's probably like a fiberglass. Yeah.
It's
a fiberglass frame, and so it only bends one way, and then it snaps. It's really brittle another way, kind of like carbon fiber. They need to make it out of that, or have them be like. Bipedal, like robot jocks, a very gratuitous clip that Sean Gravy Griffin just sent us in the chat of a chainsaw wiener. But
dude,
they
I had to watch that movie with the chainsaw wiener in a film studies class in college. So thank you, Western Washington University.
For real?
Yeah. Dude, it was like the talk about gratuitous. It was basically like the robots taking over to kill everybody, you know, as robots will. Yeah. And the way that they killed people is like they would pin them down and basically them to death with like their chainsaw wiener that would come out. And I was like, the robots could choose any way to murder you, and the filmmaker was like, they're going to use their gigantic spinning blade of a dick.
Well, this happens to be Robot Jocks, and so it's not whatever you watched, but okay. I like that there's more than one reference out there.
I will find that movie.
Robot Jocks or the one you're talking about?
How do I... No, the one I'm talking about.
We've got a guy. There's a guy who can do that for us now.
I don't know if I want to waste one of his seven Googles.
Oh. Start typing into Google, like, razor blade wiener robot.
Robot wiener. Now, hold on. By committee, can we all vote that Sean Gravy Gervin should get an extra Google today? All in favor?
Yes.
It's gravy season.
Yeah, exactly. It's gravy week, everybody. We are.
Oh, we should release a podcast every day of this week focused on a different type of gravy, just like Shark Week.
One's gravy googling, another one's just about Star Wars, another one's just literally about gravy. Like,
yeah,
one's a sad take on all the bad things that happened to him in the Navy,
and the last one will be a rant.
Wow. I feel like we've done enough.
just give gravy the microphone for an hour.
Let me tell you about.
I can't don't touch that. Our boats.
Don't touch my boat. That's what it is. That's what I said. Okay, so this week before we get into nerd talk stuff, I came back from Japan. I don't know if you guys know I went there or not, but I came
Greg,
back.
Went
from
to Japan,
Japan,
guys,
and. Lots of things here were worse than there, and like we just kind of are like, yeah, that's fine. Just like, yeah, that's cool. We just have homeless people directing traffic. No big deal. Just, you know, you don't want to offend them, so we got to, you know, just not follow the rules for everybody. And I, like, typically rules. I'm pretty, I think, liberal and progressive, and I like the idea of humans being treated equally and fairly and all that stuff, and fine. Okay, all that stuff is fine, but... My question is, I look around everywhere and I see not graffiti, but garbage graffiti. We're talking bad tags, crappy art. Like, you look up and you see something that's awesome and it can be really cool, especially some of those bombs that are on, like, the trains and stuff like that. Really good. But when it comes to graffiti, what does you think? Starting with Siege. Siege, graffiti?
Graffiti, I'm pro-graffiti. It all depends on, like, what it is. If it's crap, then I hate it. Yeah. I mean, there's an entire section of Miami dedicated to, like, just the massive spray paint art that people put all over the side of building. It's called Wynwood. And it was just old warehouses, and it became, like, one of the hottest spots. Of course, you know, as everything does, it gets, you know, white people up.
Yeah, Frito-Lay has graffiti like on the walls, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, it gets gentrified. And, I mean, of course, there's all sorts of, like, hipster bars and clubs and stuff there now. But the art there is immaculate. And now, it's from, like, world-famous people, too, at this point.
Is it permitted or is it still illegal?
Yeah, it's permitted now. It's permitted now. But okay. I mean, like, yeah, there's plenty of spots where it's illegal and it still looks awesome. I don't care.
So when I was in Belgium in this town called Ghent, there was an alley, a full alley that was dedicated to just letting people do murals and tags and stuff. And it was awesome to walk through. And you could see people in the daytime doing that. They also did them overnight and stuff. And so, like, they were like, hey, we're going to bust you real hard if you do graffiti other places because this is a tourist town. But here's a section of town that's dedicated to it. And people will actually come and see your art. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't like when there's like a small Vietnamese business down the street and their whole sign is tagged over by somebody's not even cool art, just like a tag. So it drives me a little crazy or whatever. Brandon, graffiti, you're a realtor. This must affect you in a certain way.
I mean, if somebody's putting graffiti on a like detached house, that's unless that person, I've seen a lot of homes in Spokane where people actually like do tag their own house, but it's not like you said, it's like you guys are saying, it's like people are doing cool art with ghost spray horses. Paint, you know, and you, if that is what, yeah, ghost horses, that makes me think of, Ghost Rider starring Nicolas Cage. Isn't there a ghost horse? Isn't that the guy that he like?
I don't know, but his head is on fire.
Movie Greg has not seen.
I believe it's a motorcycle, but not a horse.
Yeah, no, but before that,
ghost motorcycles.
Ghostercycle.
But you're right. I haven't seen it.
Poultricycle.
Damn. Yeah.
Poultricycle have egg.
My favorite
is bird.
Motorcycle have cloaca. My favorite thing about graffiti, or like my favorite memory of graffiti, was like going when I was a kid. We would go on the we'd take the bus from like Tequila Park and Ride to the Mariners games downtown, and the bus would always go along First Avenue, and there was just all of the backs of those like huge warehouses and stuff were just tagged up, and it was like beautiful graffiti, and I think a lot of it's still there. Been a while since I've had
it's there. Like when you ride the light rail and stuff, you see it. It's awesome.
My favorite type of graffiti these days is the one where you're just like, it's always like a crappy tag that somebody's just like put their dumb, you know, logo name type thing. Yeah. But it's in a place where you're like, how in the hell did you get to that spot on that bridge without dying?
Yeah.
Gravy, actually, I want you to chime in on this. Like you've worked throughout your life with like civic type things. Is there like a I'm trying to be vague on purpose, but is there like a, I don't know, is there like a permissiveness? What's the like kind of like what's the vibe in city governments about graffiti?
In general, there's things where it's sort of permitted. There's like electrical boxes, you've seen things like that out there. They have programs where you can submit artwork that gets put onto electrical boxes and things like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a graffiti hotline in the city I work in where they just go out and they just cover up municipal graffiti. One person I know who's a really big fan of graffiti is my cousin. And he works for a train company.
I need to ask him if we have a friend in common. Okay.
He likes to document the really cool pieces that he sees on trains going by. So there's areas where they just sort of, it's a bigger hassle to have to go out and cover it up than it is to just let it keep going. But in general, somebody calls it in, you're going to go out and cover it back up.
I saw a thing that in the train yards that shows the real artists who are doing it for art's sake and not for vandalism necessarily. Why not both, obviously, but like that they'll actually, when they're painting, they'll tape over the pertinent information that the train car needs to have showing, and then when they're done, they'll pull the tape so you can still read the car number, and so it can still be tracked.
Yeah.
So that way the train company doesn't come in and paint over their stuff. It's kind of like working together to do that. I have a hard time because, like, I feel like we're permissive about a lot of stuff, and then it becomes a problem, and then we're like, how did this happen? And it's, I don't know how to feel about this, because, like, I get tired of seeing bad graffiti all over the freeways and stuff like that when you come from somewhere where it's, like, pristine and clean, and I'm like, oh, we all of a sudden this graffiti that blew up in the last 5-6 years is now, that's not going anywhere. And, like, I like to think of these people as like these prolific artists, but I think a lot of them, no, I think that some of them are probably like a nuisance, and they probably cause a ton of like financial damage from doing these things in public spaces, only to prove a point to get a reaction out of people. And I don't know if there's a way to stop it. I don't know if you like, you know, fine people $1 million and throw them in jail for 70 years if that stops the problem, or if it just continues, but then you live in a police state. I just don't know how that stuff works very well, and I'm curious to see if there's a way to, like, kind of control it or, like, make it so it can exist where people who are doing awesome art can do awesome art and people who are being vandals can, you know, pay the price.
I know there's plenty of places down here that actually, you know, permit certain walls to just be like random graffiti, or there's like bit where if it's your business, you can do the sides or the front.
Yeah, your business, do whatever you want, man. Absolutely. I don't give a crap if people want to do it to their own space, for sure. It's like, it's the stuff that we all have to pay for, or the stuff that some poor business doesn't have the money to, like, if they don't want, if they consider it vandalism, that they have to pay to remove it.
I kind of like the Sisyphean nature of graffiti cover up, because there was this one outdoor, like, concrete tunnel at Western where I went to college, where you'd like to get to one, from one side of campus, or from one
Chainsaw
area to another.
Movies.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, that's what I majored in. So you had to go through this.
It.
You had to go through this tunnel to get to this area called Fairhaven, and then the other part of South Campus. And it was just like every day you would walk through it, and there would be a new graffiti penis on it, and then every day on the way back it would be painted over, and then like 2 days later you'd go back and the graffiti penis would be there again. And it's like the graffiti penis wouldn't be there if you stopped painting over it, but it has to be there because you keep painting over it. So it's like once it's there forever because it has to be.
So then, do you think that if you said, okay, if we catch you doing this, it's a gazillion-dollar fine, whatever that is, is that enough to stop people if you have to live, like, police state style, where you're like...
No, there's another tunnel. There's, like, a bike tunnel in Seattle that I used to ride through, and it was, like, this beautiful, for the longest time, like, a lot of it was bad, just crappy tagging, and then the rest of it was just, like, beautiful graffiti. Do we also sound like the oldest people in the world right now?
I don't care. I'm here for it. Yeah. I started this because I can't stop thinking about how certain aspects of this country...
The kids are ruining the walls.
No, we've just... our permissive nature of not getting mad at anybody is, like, crazy.
Well, this was crazy. It's like, you had all this, like, really awesome graffiti art, and then you also had it intermingled with, like, a bunch of the... like just the crummy tags or whatever, and then the city just went through and, like, carte blanche painted over the whole thing. And it's like, I would rather have something, right? Yeah. I would rather have the color and, like, something telling a story about where you are, even if it's some of the crap with some of the good, right? Because even that's part of the story, right? It versus nothing. So, like, take it back to that tunnel at Western, I would have rather them just been like, okay, the penis can stay, but you can also put a bunch of other stuff there, and there's a million penises on the thing. But no, like, that's the idea is, like, I would rather it not just be a blank white wall, unless there's some sort of, like, safety reason or some reason that it needs to be that. But I can't imagine, you know, I would rather them see just like, hey, okay, have at it. Anybody can put whatever.
I think it's interesting, the Henry murals that are all over the place, the kind of hippie murals that are, the guy's, like, prolific and he does tons of work, and it's from the Central District to Fremont, I've seen him everywhere or whatever, and I never see any graffiti on that. It's like, artists respect that art, or that, like, his expression is, like, kind of protected. But then, at Easy Street Records a few years ago, it was my favorite, somebody painted over the Chris Cornell that they had there, not my favorite, that they did
boo.
That. Boo, right? But the guy, his name is Klepto, that did the bomb over it, right? Or the tag or whatever. Now I sound like a million years old. But he did that. He, like, ruined it. And then the guy in the comments being like, listen here, Cleto, and got his name wrong. And nothing makes me happier than the artist's name being reduced to something like where he sounds like a freaking idiot.
Literally, all I am in this industry is my name. That's the only way people can know me. And you got it wrong.
Okay, Cleto. I told my kid today, I was, like, explaining tags to him because I was mad about one. And I was like, yeah, people just write their names and stuff. And he's like, well, why does that person write .com? And I was like, good reading, first of all. Secondly, it's like, that's his art name. That's what he puts everywhere. Like, there's another guy, you're going to laugh at this, but his name is Shit Parf.
Nice.
And boy, does a 7-year-old think it was the funniest ever. But, like, they think that is so funny. So
it's Brandon.
Yeah. What? I beeped it, so no one knows what that means, but yes. it is Brandon, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, there's like other things like this where I'm like, what should we do? And do you guys think that there is a way out of it, or is it forever, or do you have to have like an authoritarian state to get some control back? Because I don't want that either. I'm really curious to see if we've just gone so far. Like, if you go to Europe, the trains are out of control. I mean, they're just all spray paint, and all the stations and everything are like well advanced beyond what we have in the downtown corridor of Seattle. I don't know if there's a solution though.
I mean, honestly, if I'm going for it, I like the way that we've done it kind of down here is you've got a lot of artists that respect each other's art. So they're not covering up each other's art with garbage. If there is somebody, yeah, you're going to get retribution like Cleto.
Hot garbage.
Hot garbage. yeah, retribution like Cleto or whatever the hell his name is. But yeah Cleto, it's like a lot of people like tend to respect it. And yes, they do tape off. I've seen it plenty of times here where they'll tape off somebody else's art to kind of work around it or work in between it and like make a collaboration of some sort. But...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, no, screw that. Screw that just like tagging stuff, it's nerdtalkplus.com where you can put any sticker you want on any building you want to.
We cannot do any of that. None of that is true. That is
what if,
if you believe that, feel free to at Brandon MG and he will get right after you.
What if tattoos were easy to put on as like graffiti is, and then people would not respect your art, and then they would just come tag Cleto or Glito or whatever it is like over your cool Kyoto tattoo. Be like,
damn it, Cleto!
Penis.
Gravy.
I mean, I can say from what I've talked to with the local police I work with is they sort of just go for the ones that are the persistent nuisances, the people that they get the most call-ins for their tags in places that they don't want them.
Yeah,
I wouldn't shoot you if your art was better.
And you know, just stop putting it. Stop putting it on the donut shops that they go to and things like that. But you know, it's they have these guys that they're known, and they're like, if we find this guy, we're going after him because we have to always hunt down and have these reports. Just don't make them do paperwork. That's the only guideline I can give you is just don't make them do paperwork, and they won't care.
I like it.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, sorry. That's like just kind of like a weird. That's kind of like a weird thing that's been bothering me so much. I love graffiti art. I think it's so cool, especially like even like the giant letters, that type of stuff, more so than even like the look at this cool actual portrait that they did of somebody. I like the tags, like the not tags, because the that's not fair. Like, here, I'm gonna put a picture in the chat. This is from Ghent, Belgium, in theory, and there we go. Like, I like this stuff where it's like, this is a whole alley dedicated to just letting people do whatever they want in it. And you can see people have tagged over the top of it and stuff, but I really enjoy this, and it's colorful and beautiful and stuff. I just don't know that it needs to be on the convention center. Like, I just don't, don't necessarily think that that's like an architect did that. They're an artist too. And like, it's, I don't know, just it's, to me, it's kind of rude and offensive as a person who appreciates when people are creative or whatever. So, Gravy is now graffitiing the chat with just pictures of his whiskey. So, there we go.
Oh, and Capri Sun. Oh, are you mixing those?
Ooh.
Get out of town. Get out of town. All right. All right, well, let's, we got must have some nerd stuff to talk about. I'm just really curious about these things. Question of the week, how do we approach graffiti? If you have like a genuine thing or a hilarious take to say, like, we'd love to see that on the Spotify, anywhere you can, on a social media, nerdtalkplus.com for more. All right.
Is that the .com that Space Baby found? nerdtalkplus.com.
It's funny because he knows the term .com, but doesn't know how to use the internet, obviously, and he would never go to a website because how old are we for going to websites? But he understands that .com goes at the end of stuff just from hearing it enough, and so he thought, like, I was talking about something else, .com. I was like, no, that's the guy's name is .com. He's like, but what .com? And I was like, no, just .com. Okay. Okay, I feel like this is something that could benefit all of us to be lazier and
I'm in.
More awesome. A Japanese guy, of course, has come up with a pod for washing people. It's a human washing machine.
Oh!
You lay in it. It's sort of like a cross between, like, I don't know, like a sensory deprivation tank, but it's clear so you can see out of it, so that's not depriving you, but you lay down in it.
Can it be clear so people can see into it too?
Yeah. Is it like those is it like the Sydney Sweeney chambers that we had that we talked about on the show a while ago?
No. Oh wait, the one where you in it, or
yeah.
You potentially could do that in this, yes, for sure. Mm.
No, but is it a similar it's like person goes in tube does thing tube was meant to do, person comes out of tube.
If you look in the chat, there's a picture of it. It's like a pod.
Oh, it looks just like it.
It does. It's the same thing, just repurposed for washing you.
So
I'm going to go shower. Okay, make sure you don't get in the wrong tube.
Yeah.
If it has an X on it, stay out of that one. If it has Sydney Sweeney, get out.
There's a little red button on it. Don't push that.
Is that the shampoo?
That's the ultimate washing.
Right in the shampoo. so we made a funny fleshlight joke recently. I don't know who that was in one of the chats. I can't remember what that was. But anyway, stay on target. Stay on target.
I wonder who that was.
So this machine, you get in it, and like I have Invisalign, and I wear a retainer at night, right? And so to keep it clean, rather than brushing it every day, that sounds awful, I have a little like sonic cleaner. It's like it's a small box, and you put water in it, and then you drop the things in there, and it, like jewelry, it vibrates the bacteria off of it, and then it uses ultraviolet light to help out or whatever. This is kind of the same thing. You get in it, it measures your vital signs, and it keeps the temperature of the water just perfect to keep you comfortable. Then it projects images onto the glass to make you to help pacify you and keep you calm and respond to your whatever energy you're giving back to this thing if you get nervous.
Can it project other kinds of images on there to keep you other things?
Certainly.
Depends on what kind of energy you're giving it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what kind of energy I'm giving you.
You're not into it this week. I don't know if I'm feeling this right now.
I have a headache.
Why does this flashlight look like a cloaca? Anyway, so yeah, it'll gently sonically vibrate you as well with the other part. So yeah, put in another quarter in.
You guys, are baths that hard? Like, are we having that hard of a time with bathing ourselves that we have to invent?
The future has got to be self-driving cars that are also this, right? It's like
hot
tub,
bath, mobile, like
drives
like,
you to work in a pool of your bath semen. Water. Yeah, okay. Well, depends on how it's going.
It depends on what it projects.
It's a good bath.
It stops at your work. It slingshots you out or catapults you out. Is there like a big online debate about catapults versus trebuchets? Like if they're the same thing, if they're different things.
I know trebuchets have the same things.
Like trebuchets have the extra,
the big old swinger thing, the extra weight, the momentum builder.
Focus.
Catapults just a straight up. Okay.
What?
Anyway, so it catapults you or trebuchets you, whatever we want, into your clothes and right to your fat person desk where you're going to land.
Why get out?
No, just bring the whole thing straight to the desk.
The Wally people. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is like
this
the,
just...
Oh my God, just bring me straight to the desk naked while I'm getting washed. I just want to sit at the desk getting washed.
This is
vibrated.
It's a mawashi?
Yes!
This literally is just...
Brought you by new wipes.
Listerine-ous flavored dude wipes.
Keep you minty chill.
This is just prepping us for the egg things that we're going to sit in when we're in the Matrix. Like this.
Oh, yeah.
This is just... a precursor to that.
When the octopus thing climbs down your throat and probably up your butt, and then like
it
cooks you up to the machine. Yeah.
Man, at this point, if this is the case, I can't wait.
Do I get to choose which one goes first? The robots are like, the humans are so perverted.
I'm not into this anymore.
Quit asking about cloaca. Also, if robots had buttholes, they'd be cloacas, right? I mean, for sure.
Do robots not have buttholes?
More efficient.
I don't know that they need to. I think they would call it like an exhaust port.
You'd think there'd be some like...
so robot farts?
Lubrication and stuff that has to be expelled and re-oiled.
Reapplied?
Yeah.
Here, expel your grease. Let me put some fresh stuff.
People
back
are graffitiing fleshlight above the robot cloacas. They're like, nah, I've been graffitied again.
It's a tramp stamp on a robot. Grease me here.
Dude, this story is wild. There's a guy who was playing his favorite game. He's losing badly. He blames the developers and says the internet is bad or whatever. And the guy blamed a billionaire who owns an internet service provider, challenging him to a fight. And then months later, the billionaire owner showed up. The headline from Kotaku, it says, billionaire waits outside supermarket to fight Call of Duty fan.
Hell yeah!
This is incredible. I want this to happen. I wanted to see this so bad.
I want this to happen everywhere.
This guy proposed a 1v1 devant les Lidl, something, 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 which is all French that I don't read. It roughly translates to, I hate you, I propose a 1v1 in front of Little Street in Marseille. And the billionaire showed up and was waiting for the guy. It feels like it's a bit of a stunt, but I think that's pretty badass to show
that's
up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you think he was just so offended that his billionaire little ego couldn't take it? Or do you think he was like, whatever, I have so much money and I'm bored. I could go to jail and I could not care less.
I'm waiting for you, he wrote in a quote tweet of the original post. Where are you? Come on. Do you want to meet in the car park?
Oh, this is starting to sound like Little Ego.
This is great.
The guy's
it's like
about...
turns on location in Temecula. Meet me in Temecula.
65 years old and balding, wearing a suit, and he's there to fight. This is incredible.
Dude, it's French?
Yeah.
This is like the French version of
French,
Elon Musk.
They're totally going to fight.
Leon Musk.
Leon Musk.
Leon.
But think about that. You know how many people talk so much crap over the internet and are just so angry at the dumbest stuff and want to fight, and as soon as like you actually confront them in person, they're like back down. Oh no, I'm sorry. I was just whatever.
It was a
it's like,
joke.
Yeah, go ahead, take a swing.
I've got I need your guys' help with something that happened to me yesterday.
What
I've,
did
I've
you been, say on the internet?
I've been trying to decide whether or not I'm gonna. I mean, close. been trying to decide whether or not I was going to talk about this on the pod because I'm not embarrassed, but I don't know. I'll tell you what happened. I was at. The bookstore, I won't say which one. I was at the
adult bookstore.
The giant retailer bookstore, not for adults only. And we were buying books for my child to read that were of appropriate for his age.
Wow.
Before you guys get ahead of me.
Wow.
And we go downstairs and it's there's two cashiers and like probably like 12 people in line. And so anyone who has a child that has been of an age where they can't stand patiently, that is a lot for a 7-year-old to handle. And so we're in line and he's like touching everything and he's basically just trying to get me mad, which is, I mean, hilarious for you guys to watch, but not great for me. But it's okay. He's 7. You know, you expect this. And it's going so slowly. Finally, we get to the front and the register breaks down at one of the things. And so there's like another delay and he's taking his finger and poking it into the top of all of the wrapping paper tubes. There's a hole already there, but he's doing that. And I was like, all right, nice. Dude, we're done here. You got to stop. You can't touch anything. And then so he starts jumping up and down. And he's like, how am I supposed to not touch the floor? And I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm going to beat you up. I would never, to be clear.
Yeah.
But,
or would
so,
you?
So he's doing that. I'm like, that's enough. Just stop, please. We're next. It'll be good. And from behind me, I hear a guy go, hey, how old is he? And I was like, oh, are you talking to me? And I was, I turn around and there's a dude. And already I have a weird feeling about this. And he said, I say, oh, he's 7. And he goes, huh, more like a real tall 5-year-old, huh? And I was like,
ooh, did you punch him?
On.
I was like, all right, guy, like, I think we're going to be done talking now. And I turn back around and I'm furious, obviously. I'm going to, like, fight a guy. And
if I wasn't the most bruised ever, I would kill you with
exactly.
my karate.
Yeah. If you couldn't hurt me by just looking at me wrong, I would definitely destroy you. And so I do the right thing, the years of therapy thing, and I go, hey, I'm not going to talk to you. I turn around and he keeps going and he goes, 7, huh? I can't remember exactly what he said. He said another comment like that. And I turn around and face him. Now, I say something to the effect of like, listen, this kid acts perfectly normal for a 7-year-old. You need to mind your own business. And he goes, well, if that's your definition of normal, I'd hate to see what your definition of abnormal is.
Dude, what a piece of shit.
And so I'm...
As Gregor's clenching his fists in the chat.
I'm furious, of course, and I turn and I say to him, I'm like, listen, dude, we're done talking now. I don't want to hear it from you. And I'm like giant and he's tiny and okay, fine. That's not like a thing. I'm not like threatening him, but I'm like, listen, I literally said, I'm setting a boundary. Quit talking to me. And he's like, look, I'm just trying to make conversation. And I'm like, I don't care. We're done.
And he's trying to roast you.
And I'm like, you know, like obviously if you're, I just tell my kid, I was like, hey, come here. And he comes over. I was proud of myself as a dad. I was like, come here. I brought him over and I just like hugged him because I needed him to keep me from hitting a dude. Not because he was, I needed him to behave. I needed his comfort. And he picked up on that and was really cool about it. And so here's the twist. The dude is clearly has some sort of mental deficiency. I don't know if that's a spectrum thing or if it's a mental handicap or what, but I turned around and immediately saw him and was like, oh, I can't just push this man and then potentially hit him in the face because it'll be a hate crime. But he was way out of line. Like, yeah. Way out of line. He kept trying to talk to me, and I, like, just straight up, are you buying a cookbook? And I was like, dude, screw you. So I go and I pay, and the woman at the register knows, she sees the whole thing going on, and it's her register that's broken, and she, like, gets us over there, and she's like, I'm so sorry. And so, like, one person legitimized that I, like, didn't murder a person in public. But then the other part is, like, Gravy says, even a neurodivergent needs a recalculation sometimes, calibration sometimes. Yeah,
where's his cloaca?
I was
re-grease him.
Furious, but also like I wasn't gonna be the limited public figure that beat up on a handicapped man in the bookstore on a Sunday.
So you're saying if you weren't famous, you would have totally beat the guy up.
If nobody knew who I was, that man would have been thrown through a front window. Yeah.
I'm saying there's a chance.
That's tough. I mean, we talked a lot about stepsister, obviously, but we started out talking about ADHD, about not using things like that
That was last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, like, okay. We talked about it last. We talked past tense.
Okay, got it.
Could have been...
I thought you said we started
we
off, and I
get
was like,
into oh, the no, conversation.
We started
we
off
just happened when we to say, "Hey, I got diagnosed with ADHD," yeah. And next
Here's
thing you know,
8 minutes of proof.
But we did say specifically,
literally.
We said specifically, like, okay, have your diagnosis, but don't use it as an excuse for things to cover up like shitty behavior. Sorry.
Yeah, you guys.
But like,
yeah, that's not what Siege said.
That's not what I said. Here we go again. But that's the same thing. It's like, okay, if you can't,
Siege is like, you want to touch my wiener? I'm special.
I have a
Hooray,
specific
friends.
Kind of ADHD, and the D doesn't stand for what you think it does.
ADHD's nuts.
Anyway,
where were we going?
Last something week we talked about something ADHD. This week we proved it again.
Hey guys, we're all growing. We remembered something.
Yay!
All right. Baby steps.
How about how I forgot my appointment with the ADHD counselor to get my medication? My I missed it last week.
That's like the meme I sent you guys, or the tweet or whatever it is like, it'll never not be funny that the cure for ADHD is taking a pill at the same time every morning.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well.
Cage was like, wait, you can't do that? And I was like, oh no, like remembering to do anything is the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I like literally shoot up in bed in the middle of the night to be like, oh, you didn't take your blood thinner. Get up out of bed. It's terrible.
You think your thick blood might be the reason that you're not sleeping well? That's what's taking you up?
It would explain the half boners, but I don't know. That's not true.
I just think of like when you have your thick
They're
blood
softer,
without
but
having
thicker.
Taken your. I just think of like you guys go to the Disneyland and the Bug's Life thing where the bugs crawl under the seat and they crawl under your butt.
No, that's
the
awful
4D.
Yeah, it's like
XD
the 4D
or whatever it is.
Where
yeah,
it's like,
where
they're
yeah.
like, all right, we're gonna let all of our bug friends leave first, and they're just like, oh, thank you, excuse me, and it's just like all these little, you know, whatever
little
the animatronics
tickles on your tushy,
yeah, little tickles on your tush in the cloaca, and But like imagining what that would look like if you weren't sitting there looking at all those little lumps move across is what that I think one, about your thick blood moving through your body.
That one creepy Disney employee that's under the seat just poking people's butts.
These are not animatronics.
I sent a video today where two women were playing flag football. The one missed the flag and they just went straight thumb in the cooch.
Yeah.
That was...
yes.
That was funny. So back in the mid-90s, a Japanese scientist trained pigeons to differentiate between paintings by Monet and Picasso and somehow won a Nobel Prize for it. I don't understand how.
You won a Nobel Prize for having too much time on your hands.
Absolutely. But now he's back, and this time he's taught them how to be judgy about the art. Using watercolors painted by school children, the birds can now judge which paintings are good and which are bad. Now, the birds had to be trained up first, where parents or teachers or art teachers took different watercolors and put them into two categories, good and bad, and then showed them to the pigeons. The pigeons learned how to differentiate, including when they showed them the same pictures in black and white, they could not identify the same way with the same consistency. So the pigeons learn how to judge by color and shape on whether or not something is good.
Racism.
Leading them to potentially be the next art critics of the world. I think this is hilarious that we're doing the same thing, that we're teaching AI and birds at the same time.
The fact that you started off with the fact that they taught the pigeons how to differentiate between two artists who make completely different types of paintings.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I get it. They're birds, but does it have to be that easy? It's like, can you tell the difference between
It wasn't Monet? Between Monet and Manet. It wasn't like it was like they're both impressionists, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like, it wasn't like that. It was, yeah, it's like Jackson Pollock and a puddle. And you're like, well, I guess that's not even far enough apart, really.
I was going to say, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
One's a poo puddle, and the other one is a... Yeah. All right. Sorry. Yeah, I think that's wild that we're... that they're able to, like... I don't know, like... That we'll have to worry about two different things simultaneously. Or, like, what if you combine, you know, the birds aren't real people? They're going to be
birds
pumped.
Aren't real. I'm one of those people.
You know,
have
the
you
birds
ever
aren't
seen,
real people.
Have you ever seen a bird skeleton randomly?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a dead bird before. Yeah.
Yeah, I literally eat chicken and turkeys, which we confirmed are bird. Yeah.
If half egg is bird.
Those aren't real.
Well, what are they then?
Those are made in a factory. If you guys would have noticed, if you would have lived in Florida, you would have been among the first states to have banned factory made chicken.
Like the science made ones?
Like science made foods. There's only like two states that banned it. And yes, we have a bunch of people fighting it because we jumped the gun on it. But,
well, I don't get it. Like, at the same, like, how is the state where there's no weed the one that's also being like, let's not make chicken easier to get? Like,
it's just because we don't want anything that's not alligators. Alligators and guns and hurricanes. That's really all we want.
Brandon, I started by saying earlier that I feel like I won't get back to that. It's fine. No, I was going to talk about the Penn stuff.
HD tangent was coming.
I dialed it back in, though. Here's how my brain went. I was like, oh, I've got a throwback thing. I bet you Brandon might wear one of these because he's always into something hip and cool like this, but I don't know. You guys like the old Casio watches, perhaps if you're the three people that are born in the 80s or earlier, maybe? Ooh. The calculator watch was like a thing, the dee 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 dee. And the newest Casio type watch, this throwback analog, it's not analog, it's digital, sorry, is one that will roll your dice for you for your, it's a D&D watch that'll let you, that'll roll, you set what die you want it to roll, you press the button and it gives you a randomly generated number, which I think is kind of fun. I don't know that I would... Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't just use an app for that on my Apple Watch, which I think is more likely that the watch runs $160 and it hasn't been that much. You might as well just get the old Apple Watch and an app. I wonder if there is an app for D&D dice rolling.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like auto roller apps on the Apple Watch, or not even just the Apple Watch, but just the phone in general.
Yeah. Auto Rollers is like the, if you go to, what's the planet that all of the Transformers are from? The Autobots.
Cybertron.
Cybertron. If you go to Cybertron and Nerds. You've got all like the Autobots doing their stuff, and then you're like, oh, should we invite the Auto Rollers? And they're all just down in the basement of Cybertron playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Like, you got the, no. Don't no, bring those nerds no. until we need them to solve a chemistry problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, researchers at MIT are one step closer to understanding why our hair turns gray, and more importantly, how to stop that and possibly reverse it from happening. The top comment on this story that I read was like, I'm more worried about them reversing baldness first. I'm like, fair play, sir, fair play. I'll happily be gray if we can get the hair back. I had no idea that we didn't really understand how to combat gray hair, or we didn't know how it actually functions. There's some sort of stem cell that is supposed to fluctuate from an on to an off position, and in that process, the hair follicles pick up a pigment and color your hair. And so when they get stuck and they can't move to switch back and forth, the hair gets stuck in the off position, and the follicle, which will die over time and start producing coarser, whiter hair just from natural dying process, can be accelerated when you add stress or other factors to it, say having like 2 children in 3 years or something like that, can bring on the grays a lot faster. They're thinking that as long as the follicle hasn't run its full life course, that they could potentially switch it back on. Meanwhile, Brandon's house is under attack from 2 children under 3.
I say, again, felt oddly specific, and well, I don't have any gray hairs.
There's 2 of you that have 2 children under 3, and yeah. They're coming. Just so you know, Brandon, they're coming.
No, oh my God.
Siege is the only one that's like barely unmarked from a life of Florida's.
That's because I've abandoned my family.
Oh, that kind of sounds nice. Yeah,
it is nice. Sending, I keep trying to convince you all to do it.
You keep my family abandoned me, so that's okay.
So come live in Florida with me.
You know how you could have kept your family is if you had kicked that dude's ass at the chain bookstore that you were at.
I gotta tell you, that is not true. I told that story to Lori, and she was like, could you stop? I was like messed up about it, because I was like, I almost fought a handicapped guy.
It would have been like, so cool.
No, she was like, could you stop? I was like, how come you're not engaging with me on this? And she's like, maybe it's because you keep rehashing it in front of your 7-year-old child. And I was like, oh. But at the same time, I was like, I stood up for that kid. If nothing else, I want him to understand that, like, not only did I not punch someone in the face, I didn't punch someone who, like, couldn't have handled it in the face. And I, like, did it as a response to protecting my own. Like, I think all of those things are okay. I mean, the fact that I called that guy 7 times probably doesn't help.
Do you think that he went and told his friends about a story about this mentally handicapped guy almost kicked his ass at a bookstore earlier today?
A giant almost hit me. It was like Hodor.
I was just trying to have conversation in this little large shit
kid that he has. Yeah, I kept telling him your kid's a piece of shit. Like, and then he like got all mad about it, like a big old. Never mind. Okay, I'll just leave it. No, that guy talks to strangers by insulting them in public. He does not have a bunch of close friends to share that with. He told a cat is what I'm guessing, and that cat has plans to murder me or possibly him. I'm not sure.
Both.
Yeah.
All of us.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess that's the death of all of us. Okay. Well, I guess it's time for us to move on to something more exciting, a guessing game of sorts. It's time for Guinness time.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here real quick. Like, we had people shoot us messages about the people segment about the People Instagram segment, and that
People Magazine
follow the People Magazine thing religiously because it's so ridiculous, and everything just that unhinged. You brought up is things that they just yell about to themselves all the time. So shout out to our friend people, Kiki.
Brandon, the voice of people yelling to themselves.
Hey, actually, did you get that guy's number from the bookstore? Because him and I are going to start our own podcast.
You going to fight him?
We're both just talking to a wall in our room, not even to each other.
Just yelling about the kids. Walls.
You call that a wall? Whoa. You call that paint? Right. Yeah, anyway, it's Guinness time. that's where we left off. Oh, God. I scroll through these things, and I'm like, I don't know. Like the
Some of them are so stupid. Like we should have, like, 50 records.
The largest playing card? Like, I don't want that. Yeah. The tallest and shortest woman met in London to celebrate GWR Day. I don't know what that means, but that's cool. Pretty amazing. For me, it's kind of like, it's kind of insane how the tallest woman sound like this, and then, like, the littlest one is like, me, 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 me. And so two of them together are... This is not okay. I'm not allowed to say these things.
Yeah. They need two more people to form a barbershop quartet. Like two normal-sized people.
Who's the baritone?
Who's the baritone? Somebody comes in off-frame like, I'll do it.
Let's do the most push-ups in 1 hour female. We go to North America, specifically Canada, to see someone who is terrifying. Man, looking.
These numbers don't count in Canada.
Yeah, it's like the fraction. It's like they amplify by the conversion. Yeah. It's so bad. The stoichiometry is just terrible.
Well, and they're further north, so gravity is less.
I got a question for you. How come the people that are trying to prove something about how many push-ups they can do, they're never like 19-year-olds? It's always like somebody who like found that they needed to get fit later
in life.
It's
Joe Biden and Donald Trump at the debates.
Just doing push-ups or whatever.
They're always they're always producers of podcasts who were in the military.
At least he used to be able to do 1,000 push-ups when he was young or whatever, but now he's got some hate to work out or something like that, so he's busy doing push-ups. Anyway, most push-ups in 1 hour female by female. That's it in an hour by a female is what I was trying to say. Thank you. From Canada. Congratulations to Donna Jean, one word according to Guinness. Donna Jean Wild. How many push-ups did she do?
Sounds a super Canadian name, Donna Jean.
Donna Jean Wild. Was she on American Gladiators? No, because she was Canadian.
Sometimes the Canadians are like, we are part of America.
We are American. It's like, shit.
Yeah, you're America's
hat. I sat next to some Canadians at Sumo when I was in Japan, when I went there, and I was like, oh, sorry, I said American. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. They're like, I've literally never heard anyone get mad about that. I'm like, every time I'm there, somebody gives me attitude about it. Literally every time. Like, that's dumb. We're from Canada. You guys are from America. I was like, thank you, weird Canadian dumb person. Anyway,
we've got to guess. What is it with Canadians being so well traveled? When I went to London, and the one like sporting event that I went to was the soccer match, I sat next to some Canadians. Is that just what we do? Is we just find the Canadians in the
I was gonna say, I hate to point out that you were an American being well traveled, so like that you guys balanced it out, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but it just seems like everywhere we go, the Canadians are already there. They're like, you have the moon, but we have Sumo. We were here first.
The Canadians were in our box first, so I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Most push-ups by a lady. Jesus, let's go.
Wait, was she from Canada?
In an hour? Donna Jean did in an hour. Holy crap.
That's a lot.
Longest time to answer a Guinness World Records 200, question.
250.
We're trying to get that record.
250. Siege.
360.
It's got to be more.
360. Yeah. Gravy says 1,400 with 1,575. Donna Jean Wild.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Why are you doing so many push-ups? Wait,
I just felt like she probably does push-ups.
Did she use them on her knees?
She's doing dude push-ups. That's what you call them, or whatever.
Dude wipe push-ups? Push-ups brought to you by Dude Wipes. No, you don't push them up! No, that's not what you
push
do with
out,
them!
Push out, push out,
push out! Because I do push-ups on my knees. Anyway, farthest backflip between horizontal bars...
Gravy said Canadian push-ups are just ham slices.
I don't even know what that means. Canadian
bacon.
I get it.
So stupid. He walked away.
This is the worst episode ever.
Also just amazing. Title it that.
Did we talk about the dude who swam too much last time? Was that one that we did?
I think we started to. Did we ever finish that?
The infinity pool guy. How long did he swim?
The infinity pool that Greg doesn't think is called an infinity pool.
Yeah.
We did finish it. I remember now. Farthest backflip between horizontal bars. Think gymnastics, dude swinging around. See, this on one, some horizontal
are they uneven? Bars.
You could tell me that this one was like 6 miles or 6 feet because I have zero context for what like a good like how what's a big backflip and versus it, would you eat one backflip? No, I wouldn't.
How, how many can you fit in your mouth?
How many backflips?
1 minute of backflips.
No, were
they,
okay.
Were they
okay, how many backflips
off of their
could
knees?
You? What's the world record for backflips in a minute? That see, that's something that I would be interested in.
Are they just made of ham slices?
I'm gonna look for it. I'll find. I'll find backflips in a minute.
6 feet.
6 feet. Okay, so
I have just no context for like what
well,
this. Even...
I'm 6.5 feet, so like you can jump 6.5 feet without swinging on a bar.
Oh, so you get to swing? I thought you were just standing on a bar.
Farthest backflip between horizontal bars, and I started to say he's swinging around it, but then everyone talks at the same time, and we can't get there. So,
oh wait. These are I'm thinking of parallel bars. Oh yeah, okay, I got you. Don't show me. I want to. Okay, one, two, no.
Man.
Oh man, I'm gonna say 23.6.
What? 23.6. What?
Feet.
Okay, feet. 23.6 feet. Thank you. That's four.
What's
gergs.
That in Canadian? Four gergs. I'm gonna say
four gergs. That's like. 69 Brandons.
How many movies is that?
69 Brandon. All right.
You would need way more than four gurks for that.
Okay, 18, just because I like that number.
18 feet?
Yeah, sure.
Gravy, 13 feet. Closest this time around, after What's-His-Nuts did a 19-foot, 8-inch jump, 6 meters... His name is Ashley Watson, and he's from Great Britain. Congratulations, Brandon.
Wow.
No, I think
you went
over Siege. Yeah. He said 18. Siege said 18.
Oh, it was 19 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
6 meters. Mm. Congratulations, Siege.
Hooray.
What did you say, 23, Brandon?
23.6, yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just go full 24? Is that afraid? That last little 6 inches?
You guys want to talk about ghost horses again?
Yes, we never did that on the pod. We did that.
Oh yeah.
No,
I don't even think Greg and
they
Greg
weren't
and
even
Gravy
here.
Were
here. You and me talking for like half an hour. Oh, you were.
Okay. Yeah. We were talking about how Brandon's looking to buy a new house and it has a guest house in the back and that it's on an old horse farm. And so there's ghost horses.
Not a farm.
Even after you left, we talked for like another like 15-20 minutes about freaking horses.
I'm combining a full 90 and the long acres to
full acres.
Oh my God. Okay. How do you grow grapes? Highest vineyard in the world. What is the altitude in feet of the highest vineyard in the world?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I only know meters.
It's in Tibet. If that helps.
Oh, they use feet in Tibet.
You can You're guess in meters. I will accept meters or feet. I don't care at this point. I just want this to end.
1,800 meters.
1,800 meters, says Siege. Gravy, can you do the conversion on that for me, please? Thank you.
18. No.
Or are we giving him an extra Google?
12,000 feet.
12,000 feet, says Brandon from the internet, and 10,500 feet, says Sean Gravy Gervin. What was the Siege guess? Are you really actually not going to look it up, or are you...
He already used his Googles.
Is he looking it
Siri,
up?
Siri, how many feet is 1,800 meters?
Just multiply by three, right?
5,900. Okay, great. Oh, no, you got that number, Gravy.
Yeah, what is that?
Did you actually do the math by hand? That's amazing. That's amazing how wrong it is, but also
man,
great job.
Thank God you weren't directing, you weren't freaking the navigator on the submarine.
He was. It wasn't a submarine. It started as a boat.
Don't touch his boat. I already forgot what I was supposed to be looking up. Oh, yeah. 11,690 feet. Congratulations to Sean Gravy Gervin. So,
man, that's good. Wow.
Other way, though, buddy. Wow. It was 1,800 meters times.
Oh, you put in 10,500 feet.
Yeah. What? Wait, what was the answer? 11.9?
What?
What was the answer? 11,009?
when do we have to go get our ADHD medicine?
11,690. That's 11,690.
I was actually closer. I was closer, but Price is Right rules. Gravy wins.
Yeah, Gravy wins. Congratulations to Sean. Gravy Gervin. It's Gravy Week, everybody!
Woo! Gravy Week! Oh, we gave him that one.
Oh,
we
let him win. There we are. All right. Well, that's enough of that. This has been the worst.
You guys want to text each? You guys want to text each other in the morning, remind each other to take our medication?
Yeah. I missed my appointment. I don't have medication. I got blood pressure medication.
Oh, mine's tomorrow. That's a great reminder. I can't miss mine tomorrow.
Anyway, what did we learn this week? After all, this is not a heavy show. If we didn't learn anything, that's fine, too. Sean Gravy Gervin.
I mean, I learned if you want to cure neurodiversity, you can go ahead and join the military and just get OCD instead. And just be on top of everything all the time.
Ask his wife. Whoa!
Ew.
Except you were in a submarine, so you were literally not on
top. I've been in four different submarines, but I was never stationed on one. It was a lot of fun. There's three different t-shirts we're going to create out of this podcast. There's the Listerinus t-shirt, there's the Don't Touch the Gravy Boats t-shirt, and Has Egg Is Bird.
Has Egg Is Bird.
Those are great t-shirts. But Greg learned that he maxed out his credit card in Japan, getting his own Fleshlight bath pod. That's why he brought up the story. Brandon, he's by far the youngest of the young boys, not nearly near the oldest man because he does enjoy a graffiti penis. Yeah, and right. To continue the penis theme, Siege.
He's going to 69 Brandon.
Yeah, he's going to start. He's going to start fighting French billionaires with his fiberglass battlebot chainsaw penis.
Yeah. Jeez, that was complicated. I like that.
So much stuff going on. It's every callback in one joke.
Well, wow. All right. Well, a quick moment to say thank you to everyone for listening. And we're really grateful to be able to have this time to goof off together. And I feel like we put it on the internet.
For Listerine?
What was that noise?
Mute Gravy again. He's already making noise off mic.
That Listerinus is what it's called, Brandon. That's
I said thanks everybody for Listerine. No, you said listening. I see.
No, I probably said Listerine. I probably messed up. Thanks everybody for using mouthwash. We appreciate you. We here at the Procter & Gamble really appreciate you using Listerine. No, but seriously, we would do this in the chat without this podcast, but it's a good excuse to get together, record it, and put it out there. So thanks to everyone for listening. Hit us up on socials, nerdtalkplus.com. Leave us a comment. Say nice things about Siege. Or it is Gravy Week, so if you want to say sexy things about Sean Gravy Gervin, have at it. He'll tell you all about his gravy. I don't know. And whiskey bottle open. There we go. So anyway, thanks for hanging out. Happy Thanksgiving, and see you in hell.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!